Disclaimer, this podcast was recorded before the news broke on DeGrom signing with the Texas Rangers, but I wanted to throw this in the beginning so everyone could be updated when they see it tomorrow morning. So DeGrom with the Rangers, 5 years, $185 million with an option for a 6 year AAV 37. The option could bring it to a whopping 222. Whoa. I think the AAV is lower than people expected, but 5 years going up to six, the Mets were not going to go that far. They were willing to go three-ish, maybe an option for four. He didn't even negotiate with the Mets at the end. He just took that money and he went to Texas. Now, the Rangers are still far away from contending, but this sets a foundation. You have someone for Leiter to look up to. They re-signed Martin Perez. Last year, they get Simeon. They get Seager. They're building. And maybe next year, they could really be a threat. Maybe they could be close to 500 this year, depending what else they do. But for the Mets and the city, more importantly, how are they going to pivot? I mentioned Rod's own. I mentioned Verlander in this podcast. Now, the Yankees are very much in on Rod's own. They're supposed to meet with him. So will the Yankees and Mets get into a bidding war for Rodon? That will be very interesting to see. If not, Verlander could be an option for both teams as well, but this market really got shook with DeGrom 2 days before the winter meetings. The meetings are going to be incredible. Wow, I can't wait to preview them. I hope everyone enjoys this show. What's up, everyone? Got a solo edition of Out in the Field today. Julian Gallardi. I will be previewing the winter meetings. Unfortunately, Sandy can't join us today, but we will be going out there, and we got some cool things we got to get into. Can't wait to tell everyone what's going on. But before we do that, set the scene, the stage, and winter meetings, go through some events and how things normally go. This is the first time in 3 years it's going to be live in San Diego again. So really excited to do this. But the most important thing we got to get to before all the antics, semantics, and whatever goes into the meetings, predictions. What does everyone want to know? We're going to start with Aaron Judge. Who else? So the latest is that the Yankees have offered around 8 for $300. Now, I believe this is legitimate. Jeff Passan knows his stuff, obviously. Some people are refuting it, but I don't understand why, like Martino, Joel Sherman, but I don't get it because Passan doesn't miss. Jack Curry also said around the same. So I'm going to very much assume that that's true. Now, the variable is that we don't know what the Giants have offered. Obviously, Randy Miller told me he thinks he's going to be a Giant, and he thinks the Giants will go above and beyond. Now, we've heard some different things that they won't go that high. And then they're not at 300 yet, maybe. But we don't know. That's the thing that's going to be interesting here. I really don't think the Dodgers are going to be a threat at this point. It seems that they are more focused on other things like Justin Verlander, per se. And I do think the Dodgers will get Verlander, like I said a couple weeks back. I still believe that. I think he can get a Max Scherzer-type deal. I think the fit is perfect. You know, that Kate Upton wants to be out there as well. They do have a house out there. It seems like L.A. or New York for Verlander. He's outpriced himself out of Houston. They're very far apart right now. That's the latest. I don't think he's going back. The Astros don't even need him. That's a scary thing here because they have so much depth. Their rotation is going to be fine without him. They could just put Hunter Brown in there now. They have Urquidy still, Luis Garcia behind their big three. So that's that. But back to Judge. I think the decision is going to come at the meetings. I could see it coming to a similar time frame with Garrett Cole, maybe that late Tuesday night, Wednesday morning type deal. I definitely think it's not going to be Sunday, obviously, because that's the day everyone gets there. And they are doing something unique on Sunday, which I'm going to touch on later. But I think Judge decides like Monday or Tuesday, most likely. I don't think it goes down to the last day. It feels like it's coming to a head. I mean, if there's only two teams realistically involved, and I know everyone's going to say the mystery team, you know, I've heard some things about the Texas Rangers, but honestly speaking, it doesn't make any sense for him to go there, and I doubt they're going to come close to what the Yankees or Giants are going to offer. So, the Giants, the other thing is that he's not exactly his hometown. He's like 2 or 3 hours south of San Francisco or something, but I know it's still kind of close compared to where he lives now, obviously, all across the country and everything, in Tampa and in New York, but the Yankees got to get this done. Now, Brian Hoke had said that the Yankees could go on a 2009 spending spree if Aaron Judge were to leave. Now, I said they should do it anyway, even if he resigns. But they have been linked to Carlos Rodon, like I've mentioned. Now, I want to caution everyone about this because John Heyman and Scott Boras work hand in hand together. Heyman will inflate prices for Boris by saying false interest all the time to help his guys in the market. So it could be another case of doing this. How many times has he mentioned the Yankees and they haven't even been involved to pick up the phone? We've heard it a million times. So hopefully he's right. We'll give him credit if it happens. Now, something he does deserve credit for, he was first on this, and it's breaking news today, a little while ago, Colton Wong has been traded to the Seattle Mariners. Now, there's been a lot of talk about this. Finally comes to fruition. They've been looking for an upgrade at second base, and they get one. Wong's WAR is just above 3 via Baseball Reference, 17 stolen bases, 15 home runs, pretty solid defender, so they get a nice upgrade there, and they already traded for Teoscar Hernandez. Now, they sent back Jesse Winker, who had a down year. Maybe Milwaukee can catch lightning in a bottle with him and get him back to form. He was very good in the NL Central. He'll replace Hunter Renfroe, and they get Abraham Toro as well, a young bat that has a little bit of upside, can play a few different positions, so they're going to try to reshuffle some things. They're cutting payroll. Maybe Burns and Woodruff get considered as well. So we'll see what they want to end up doing. And I don't think Gleyber Torres is a possibility for them. Now, the Mariners were big on Gleyber, so you can take them right off the list. And I really think it's more likely that Gleyber ends up staying. Everyone else is staying Miami, but that Pablo Lopez thing kind of seems more like a pipe dream to me than the reality. It would take a lot more than Gleyber, obviously, to get that going anyway. And how motivated is Miami to pay Torres? They don't seem to want to pay anyone. So you got to question that as well. Because that would be the motive behind moving Lopez, so you don't have to pay him when it's time for him to get paid. He's a good pitcher. Great number two behind Sandy Alcantara. They don't need to trade him based off performance. It's all about money with them too. And then Torres is going to get a big contract. So I don't know about that one either. I'll say that again. But when you look at the rest of the Yankees' outlook, and I think they need to get a left fielder. Yoshida, Benny, Nimmo would be amazing. But if Judge comes back, you're not getting Brandon Nimmo. So that's where I'm at with that. I still think it's going to be the Yankees at the end of the day. I'm going to project that the contract is at least Gerrit Cole money, if not more. 9 for $324. I could see it being higher. He wants to break Trout's AAV record. I think that's going to easily happen. That actually has happened in the offer currently. So I think you're going to end up looking at a deal around $40 million per year. Could it be 9 for $350-ish? That could make some sense. It still breaks the record. A touch under 40. Could it be 8 for $320? That could make some sense. Maybe even 8 for $325 if we want to top Gerrit Cole. Go a little over 40. But at the end of the day, the Yankees can't lose this guy. He means too much to the clubhouse, the city, the team, the stadium, whatever you want to call it. It's instrumental that the Yankees signed Judge. You look at how bad the offense was, even when he was in there. If you take him out of there, what are you doing? I mean, you could sign Nimmo at that point, maybe a big shortstop and an ace pitcher. You can make an argument that that could be better, but I don't think they're going to do all that stuff. I mean, let's say you get Nimmo, Turner, or Rodon. That equals more than Aaron Judge. But that's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. Bottom line, I think Judge is coming back to the Bronx, and they're going out there to handle business. It's going to be done by the meetings, I'm 100% certain. So let's go to some other big names. How about we cross town to Jacob deGrom and the Mets? I'm very conflicted on what's going to happen here. The Mets are flirting with Carlos Rodon. It's known. I think that's a good contingency plan if deGrom leaves. There's also Senga, who's in the mix, a Japanese pitcher. But in my opinion, here's how I see things going. I think if DeGrom leaves, Rodon's definitely going to Queens. And I think Verlander's off the table, like I said before. I think he's going to be a Dodger. I really do. And the starting pitching market's going crazy. Zach Eflin just got $13 million a year. Tyler Anderson got $13 million a year. Matt Boyd just got $10 million. Mike Clevenger just got $12 million. And these guys are all nothing to write home about. They all have flaws. So to me, that means these guys that we're talking about are easily getting $30 to $40 million a year. The big guys. Well, Senga might be like in the 18 to 20 range, I think, how the posting works. Oh, he doesn't have to be posted. He's a free agent. But I think he might end up falling in the 18 to 20 range, per se. We'll have to see how the whole process works. I know the Red Sox, Mets, and Padres and Giants are very big on Senga. The Yankees have checked in as well. I think he intrigues me. I really do. He's got a nasty forkball type thing. So that's something that you can look at to see where he ends up going. That's where the market's going to get dictated for these pitchers. Those are the big four starting pitchers. Now let's go to some guys below them. Quintana's starting to get a lot of interest from the Cardinals. His market's picking up. He could be looking at $15 million a year based on how these contracts are going. I think Tyone, I said 75 to 80 for 4 years. That may have been a stretch. Maybe I'll bring that down to like 65 to 70 for him for four, or like 60-ish. I think he's definitely going to get 15-plus based on how this market is moving. The Mets have checked in on him as well. They need depth. I can see Minnesota taking him, maybe Anaheim to add another starter. Baltimore is very much in the mix for starting pitching as well. Look at Chris Bassitt. He might end up going there. I think Bassett's going to be an Oriole or a Twin. And then you still have Taiwan. Maybe the Mets go back to him if you look at that aspect of the market. And Nathan Eovaldi, I think the Red Sox will probably end up getting him back. He just seems like Red Sox material. Maybe the Blue Jays could try to steal him. I think that could be intriguing. He probably gets a little more than Taillon, I would say. But his injury history is a little worrisome, though he's held up. But same with Taillon, too. So, we go through the starting pitchers. I think you're going to see Rodon sign at the meetings, or DeGrom and Verlander, potentially. I think at least one of them signs, if not two. You won't get all three. I think someone will be left standing at the table. I have a feeling Verlander is going to move quickly. I don't think he wants to wait too long, so maybe he ends up going. And then you got Scott Boris. Boris Ball. Let's get to it. Last time at the winter meeting, Scott Boris signed almost $1 billion in contracts on consecutive days. Scott Boris is the central figure. He will control the winter meetings with his players like he always does. And this time is no different. He's got Rodon, obviously. One that might end up getting the biggest pitching deal because of his age, because he's only 30 right now. And he has shown really good stuff the last 2 years. He's a lefty. He's got nasty strikeout stuff. The durability seems to be built back up for him. A lot of teams are in. Yankees are in. Rangers are in. Mets. Those are some teams to point out at the top. I think those are the top three for Carlos Rodon. I would love for the Yankees to get this one done, but I question if they're going to get into a bidding war with Cohen if they sign Judge as well. That's going to be a tough pill to swallow. I think, you know, they could do it, obviously, but we know how things have been. Hal has said that they could get another player with Judge, as we mentioned, but we got to see what capacity he's talking about. Now, he's got two of the big four shortstops, Carlos Correa, Xander Bogaerts. Correa is interesting to me. I wanted to say Cubs, but now things are emerging that Dansby Swanson is a leader for the Cubs. And Xander Bogaerts, Feinstein said the Red Sox are likely. I'm still not that sold. It seems like there's some things going on there. The relationship might be a little fractured at this point. Well, the Padres, I could see making a splash and moving around their infield a little bit. They've checked in on Xander Bogaerts. Minnesota could be a fallback if they lose Correa. I originally had Correa Cubs. I think I had Bogaerts Padres. And then I had Swanson going to L.A. Dodgers. And then I had Turner going to Philly. I'm going to stick with Turner going to Philly. Everything seems to be matching that up. I would say 8 for 268-ish or 270, or maybe they even go 10 for 300 range. Somewhere around that for Trey Turner, I think makes sense. For Xander Bogaerts, you're probably looking at like 6 for 190-ish or like 6 for 175, something like that. Maybe similar to what Trevor Story got, which is why I question if Boston's going to want to pay the infield that much, because Devers is coming up too. And there's things talking about him getting traded. The Mets have been mentioned, but I can't see Devers getting traded still after they traded Betts and all that. I don't think that would be beneficial. So those are three guys represented by Boris at the top right there. Now I'm going to look at the other guys he has. A lot of Mets action here. Brandon Nimmo, Michael Conforto. So Nimmo, I'm starting to think, is going to be a Toronto Blue Jay. I think it makes a lot of sense. They cleared the desk for Teoscar Hernandez. So I think Nimmo is going to be that replacement, that left-handed bat that needs a balance to the lineup. I think it's going to be perfect for them. And it's going to be tough for the Yankees to deal with. I think he can be a leadoff guy right up there with George Springer. They can hit him 1-2. They can do a lot of different things up there. And his defense is really good, too, and he's got some speed. So they can move Springer to a corner, which would be more suitable for him at this point to preserve him. He's had injury issues. Let's get to Michael Conforto. Conforto could also be an option for the Yankees if they can't get Benintendi back or they're not so into Yoshida. I think Conforto is going to end up being a Mariner, though. It seems like that's the spot for me, or Houston, because the Mariners have seemed to have been intrigued. He's from that Washington area, went to school there. Houston just signed Abreu, obviously, and they're still looking to make a splash in the outfield. They're also linked to Wilson Contreras, who seems to be an Astro or a Cardinal at this point. They've talked about putting him in a left field, moving him around the diamond. So I'm going to say that Contreras goes Cardinals, and then the Astros get an outfielder, either Conforto or, I hate to say this, but Benintendi, because they're very much into him. I mean, Michael Brantley could go back as well. I'm starting to think Benny may have priced himself out of New York, and that there's been some reports he doesn't want to play in New York anymore. He wants a smaller market, but he went to Boston. So I don't know how much I fully believe that, but we're going to have to see what happens. I mean, I can see the Rangers, Mariners, the Rockies offering Benintendi a large contract. And we'll go through the rest of Boris's guys. Josh Bell, he's going to be the highest demand for a baseman now after Abreu and Rizzo have been off the board. He could end up getting like maybe 16 to 18 a year for like 4 or 5 years maybe. The Red Sox whiffed on Abreu. Would they take a shot on Josh Bell? They also whiffed on Zach Eflin. And they haven't gotten anything yet, but their first base production has been terrible. They do have Tristan Casas. His kid's a stud in their system. So that's definitely something noteworthy that they can try to work with there. So other guys, he's got Taijuan Walker, who I mentioned before, J.D. Martinez. I feel like J.D. Martinez is flying under the radar a little bit. I know he hasn't been as good recently, but he's still a solid hitter. He could provide a lot of value at that DH spot, especially in the universal DH role now, which is adapted in the National League. I think a lot of teams could be interested. Does Arizona consider a reunion with J.D. Martinez? Maybe the Tigers could use some more hitting. Those are some old stomping grounds. Could the Mariners pull the trigger? Though I think their DH spot is kind of logjam right now. Could Houston do it again? I don't really hope not. I don't think so, really. So we'll see how JD's market plays out. He's got Cody Bellinger, who, of course, he has interests all over the league. Toronto, Baltimore, maybe even the Yankees, Boston, a lot of teams at Houston again for him, too. So that's something you can look at. Jerickson Profar, good utility guy. He can play all over the place. He might not be a Padre anymore. And then Joey Gallo. Will Joey Gallo get one last chance? It feels like this is kind of make or break for him. Last year, he was horrific. I think he'll get a one-year flyer deal from someone. I don't know who, but someone should give him a shot. Maybe give him like $10 million or something. Maybe no more than 12, and then see what he can do. Maybe even under that, honestly, after how bad he was. But those are all the guys that Boris has on the board. Does he top the 2019 winter meetings? That's going to be a big question for me. And we'll see if he can do it. I don't know, because as he has the three guys at the top, the guys lower aren't going to command those high deals. If he gets two of the top three, he might be able to do it with the bulk he has with everyone else. I mean, I think Rodon's got a good chance to go there. If not, then DeGrom and Verlander, and he'll be waiting. I think Carlos Correa might take his time, as we saw last year. He seems to be wanting to get the longest deal possible. You're not going to see another opt-out situation. I think Minnesota should bring him back. I think it makes too much sense. They really need him. They want to keep going forward. He was good for them. I think he could be better this year as well. You know, the adjustment of a team is tough on a new one, especially since he was with Houston for so long. So I think Bogarts could end up signing by the meetings and Turner. If I'm going to pick two of the shortstops, I think Swanson might take his time a little bit, try to play the market with the Braves, maybe the LA teams. And the Angels are in the mix for a big shortstop as well. And we know that they signed Rodon there, so could they pull the trigger on a Bogarts maybe? They do have Urshela there now, who they're going to shift around. And they have Rodon, Rendon, who's been banged up. So that's something you're going to have to look to see. But Another guy I want to go through is Yoshida. Mixed things on Yoshida. Adam Jones said he thinks he's like the Japanese Juan Soto. Well, sign me up for that. He walks more than he strikes out. He's got a lot of power. Good contact bat. And 20-plus homers last year in the MPB. But his defense is bad. In the left field at Yankee Stadium, that could be very problematic. So that's what I would be a little bit worried about if I was to pull the trigger with the Yankees. But you know what? My thought is that you can mask his defense. If you have Bader in center and judging right, he won't kill you in left. That's my thought. Hicks has got to go. They're trying to move Hicks. They're trying to move Donaldson, maybe IKF. I feel like Hicks is the one that's definitely going out of everyone. He doesn't make any sense in this roster anymore, especially once they add a left fielder. You still have Oswaldo who can play left. Even put him at third maybe to get rid of Donaldson. And the infield picture is something I want to discuss with the Yankees as well. I think that Torres needs to stay with the uncertainty of DJ LeMahieu. That's all I really have to say about that. I think Peraza's got a good chance to start a shortstop opening day. I think Volpe's going to be up by like May or June-ish, maybe July or something. Maybe it's second. We'll have to see what they want to do, what happens with Peraza, Torres, and the whole puzzle that moves around the Yankees infield. Yoshida to the Yankees, I'm starting to think it could happen. I think it's a good variable. I think they could use some different culture in there. I think he would give the lineup a different dynamic that Benintendi can't. He'll cost less. I know it's a gamble. I know it's a risk. But if you think about it, you're covered. Because if he doesn't work out, you can put Oswaldo on left. You can put Stanton in left. You could DH him sometimes. Like, there's things you can do. And if he can really hit as well as they're saying, there's no reason why the Yankees shouldn't add him. He's a lefty high-contact power bat. That's exactly what the Yankees need. I know Fangraphs isn't that high on him, but I don't really care. I'm high on him. So I would do it. I think it's something that could definitely happen. The Giants have been the mix and play for him. I forgot there's another team, I think, that's looking at him too. And then there's another Japanese pitcher that we highlighted on Out in the Field that we'll also get to as well. So that's something that we could do. But I want to go over the Hall of Fame ballot on Sunday. This is a new thing that's coming to the winter meetings. Their players, old players, are able to vote some guys in. You got Chipper Jones, Greg Maddux, Jack Morris, Ryan Sandberg, Lee Smith, Frank Thomas, and Alan Trammell. Theo Epstein's voting as an executive. It's 16 votes in total. And here's the list. Albert Bell, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling, Donnie Baseball, Fred McGriff, Dale Murphy, Rafael Palmeiro, Curt Schilling. So I think that with this, what you're going to end up seeing here is that the steroid guys still won't make it, I don't think. No one likes Curt Schilling too much, so I doubt he's going to get any favors here. I think the guy that really you're looking at is Fred McGriff, the crime dog. 493 home runs. I think he should have been in a long time ago. He was a very good hitter. He played on some World Series teams. I know he won the championship in 97 or something, I believe. But then Don Mattingly has a good case too, but I don't know if he'll actually make it here. And then I know a lot of people want Dale Murphy in there as well. So we'll see what ends up happening. They need 12 votes here to make it. And the World Series for McGriff was 1995. So I think he's got a shot. His overall numbers are really good. He's got 1,550 RBIs. His OPS is 886. OPS plus 134. That's a Hall of Famer to me. That's how I'm looking at it. I really think so. And then his WAR is over 52. I would definitely put him in there. No questions asked. He should have been in, like I said. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens Sunday when we get there. We'll see if anyone gets in. And Sunday is kind of a transition day, you know. That's the day that people just get settled. It's a long travel, obviously, from everyone on the East Coast. So nothing crazy really happens there. But we'll see how. It's just like a hello. It's like you get acclimated. You see what's going on a little bit. And then you go. And then you go from there. So I think that it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. You know, the Mariners make some sense for Yoshida. The Rangers are looking to make a splash. Could Toronto add him now, too? Because they do need a left-handed outfielder if they don't get Nimmo. Padres, maybe. Who knows? I think these are some teams that could add up. And I think I did mention Giants for him. So that's how I think his market is going to look. And it's going to be very interesting to see what takes place with that. So the rest of the meetings process, Monday is when things get going. Monday is when you start to see action. You start to see all the shows take place and everything. That's when you start to see everyone out and about. You see managers going around. And you get to see GMs. And it's really a fun time. Monday morning, things are going to be aggressive. You might start to see some things happening. But I don't think deals will happen that quickly on Monday per se. Maybe later in the day, like towards the afternoon. And then I think you'll start to see some traction, and then towards the night is when things can get exciting too. Everyone gets to hang out and all that. And then you get to make these conversations. You get to meet a bunch of different people. And it's a cool time. Like, I'll take you through the scene. So San Diego, it's the Grand Hyatt Hotel. It's like a big lobby. There's a bar on a couple different sides. There's a big bar in the main area when you go left. It's like, yeah, a bunch of people socialize and gather. Like, you literally see former players. You can see, like, current players even looking for deals still. That happens. Like, veterans. Like, I saw Matt Kemp out there. You'll see analysts. You'll see managers, GMs. You can even see, like, people in the baseball ops world. It's like, all the front offices are basically there. So, it's a very cool scene. And it's something that's, like, for a baseball fan, it's like baseball heaven. That's what I call it. I mean, you have everyone you want all in one area. It's crazy. Then you have another side all the way down. If you go right more, there's another area where people hang out too. There's like a store. There's like a restaurant and stuff out there too. Then you have the convention center. There's the minor league building by Petco Park and the Hilton. It's just a crazy scene. There's scooters out there. It's a nice area. You got good weather, good conversations. This is the time. If you want to go out there and do it, this is when you do it. So I'm excited to do it. We're going to have some cool ideas, like I said. And it's going to be awesome. I'm so happy to go back. And that's how I would set the stage. And Tuesday is when things really start to happen. That's the middle. That's the heat. That's the heart of the winter meetings. That's when you start to see things going down. And then Wednesday, they're going to have the Rule 5 draft, which is an interesting mix now. Because that's normally the day you leave on Thursday, no one stays. But now they're having it Wednesday. So I want to see what happens with that. And we just had Chaparro on. Shout out to Sandy for an awesome job in that interview. And he's in the Rule 5 draft. So I want to see what happens with him. We got Boyle, like we talked about, Yuli, a bunch of guys we've interviewed going into that process. And we're going to have to see what ends up happening, who goes where, and all that. So that's going to be exciting. And hopefully the Yankees can keep most of their guys, but they probably will lose a few. And that's just how it goes, unfortunately. Now, another Japanese starter that I want to get to is Shintaro Fujimi. He pitched 10 innings in the MPB. His ERA was a 3.17. He had 1,357 Ks in his career, and he's 29 next year, also a Boris guy. He's hit 100+. This guy is very high risk, high reward, apparently. Could the Yankees take a flyer on him? I don't know, maybe. Could the Padres do it? You know, Toronto could make some sense. Boston will probably be in this mix. Then he's starting pitching. The Mets are always in the mix for a pitcher. And, you know, we'll see what ends up happening. He was actually posted yesterday. So he is now a free agent. And I believe they have a month to figure out if he can get a deal from someone. So there is one more topic we're talking about. And I'm going to close with this. It's Sean Murphy. And the Blue Jays catchers too. So I think Sean Murphy is going to end up getting traded. I really do. The A's have another catcher in Langley here. They're not going to want to do a catcher DH like platoon weird thing. They're not going anywhere. We saw they traded everyone last year. They got to get value for this guy. They can get a lot back in return for him. I think there's a couple teams that make sense. The Guardians seem like the number one fit. They have a bunch of young prospects that can make Oakland better. I give them some infielders too. Maybe even throw them Rosario. No, Rosario makes too much money, actually. Never mind. They won't take him. So they have some things they can work with there. I think the Cardinals, again, they're looking for a catcher, obviously, with Yadi retired. Yankees, maybe, but the thing is, Trevino is such a good defender. I don't know if they want to take someone like Murphy and have Trevino play that much less because his bat, I know, like I even said, his bat was not great, but his defense was amazing. He was a Platinum Glove winner. He had a huge impact on the Yankees pitching staff. And that's something that you can look at. Murphy was solid last year. He had 18 homers with 66 RBIs. And I really think that he's going to make a big difference wherever he ends up. I think his Oakland days are numbered. I think he has 2 years left on his deal. Had a WAR of 3.5 last year. Very good catcher. So someone's going to get a treat with him. And then the Blue Jays are looking to make some moves. They're going to deal one of their three catchers, maybe even two of them. Probably one, though. Jansen, Kirk, and then the catcher prospect Montero, who's one of the better prospects. That's what I would say with that. The Blue Jays are looking to make a splash. Could they go and get a higher tier starting pitcher for that? Or could they try to get a pitcher and then throw some more in? Could they look for a big outfield bat to replace Teoscar? Could they look for some help in the infield, maybe? That's something that they're gonna have to want to examine. A lot of teams could use catching help. It's a big market for sure, and that's what we're gonna see. So let's get it. That's it, baby. We're going soon. Be on the plane tomorrow. I'm out there Saturday night late, and then Sunday, let the games begin. So before I get going, everyone subscribe to our YouTube channel Out in the Field. All our social media handles, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Out in Field _. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope everyone enjoys this podcast and get ready for a fun and exciting winter meetings. We'll have live coverage every step of the way.